Taking your Bibles as you open up to the Gospel of John chapter 11. This week as we prayed, my heart so anticipating. If you missed prayer and could have been here, shame on you. If you couldn't be here, I hope you prayed at home. But we had a mighty touch of God this week. God is going to answer the prayers of those that have cried out. He's going to answer it.
Oh, yeah.
Our prayers have not fallen on deaf ears. God's going to answer it.
Yes.
But I felt Thursday morning as I got up, I don't know what it was. That old enemy's trying everything he can do to distract, to discourage, to detour us, get his people, get the people of God going in the wrong direction, looking at the wrong things, thinking on the wrong things, sidelined. I felt almost a cloud that descended. I just felt in my body I was so weary, just tired, just could hardly go, but I came anyway to church, spent the day in study. God spoke to me, gave me things, but talked to Brother Doug. Got some news. Now, some may think it was bad news. I have a little different perspective on it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be real blunt with you this morning. If God would have healed this man before today, the doctors could have taken credit for it. And they could have said the chemo has done it. But now they can't. God heals him now. They've already declared, you got no hope.
Right.
Now God can get glory.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
But I got a hold of God. Talked to him. He helped me. Touched me. But I still felt that despair somewhat descending on the congregation. God burnt something in me Thursday night. While we were praying, couldn't get away from it Friday night while we were praying. This simple message that I want to share with you today is a scenario we've been through probably many times, but God's got a message for us today. There's some things in your lives, the core of this church, those who are even seeking, wanting more of God. There's some despair that's wanted to descend over folks. Some why go on attitudes, some it'll never change attitudes, some what if attitudes. And that vision of despair has descended on you. But I got a message from God for you this morning. God's going to turn it around. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on when death gives way to life. When death gives way to life. The Gospel of John, please, chapter 11. And verse 3. I'm going to read just a few verses, and then I'm going to go back and I'm just going to walk through this chapter. So take your Bible and hang with me here today. Keep your mind focused. Do not get distracted today. Keep your mind on God. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. This sickness is not unto death. Lazarus is dead. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. When death gives way to life. Ah, you're happy in Jesus today. Can you say amen to His wonderful word? You may be seated this morning. I hope you don't stay there. The story is familiar. The story has become almost so common that sometimes to some it may lose its significance. But I am so glad when God can take that which is familiar and known and give it fresh life. Yes. I'm so glad that when God can take a story that maybe has been forgotten, that is more than a story, but is a real occurrence. What took place in John chapter 11 and was recorded in the sacred scripture is not a fairy tale. It's not something that was written down to entertain you. It is the inspired word of God. It is the inspired historical account of an event that took place in the life of Jesus Christ about a few weeks before He died on the cross of Calvary. And then He Himself was raised from the dead. And I'm so glad that when God can, we can find out that in our circumstances, that God can take something there and speak to us. And I felt God speak to me and brought this back to me in a way that this was fresh to my heart and my mind. And I pray the Holy Ghost will write that in your hearts and your spirits here today. The Bible says in John chapter 11, He talks about, we read things that have happened. There has been a lot of opposition against Jesus Christ. So much so that they've tried to stone Him. They're ready to kill Him. They want to get rid of Him. He's had to hide. He's had to go into the country. And He did that. He's went into Bethabara. He's about 30 miles or so away from Bethany. Maybe a day, 2 days journey or so. And there where John had been baptizing, that's where he's at. He's just kind of letting things cool down. He's kind of getting away from some of the heat and the opposition. But then while he's there and maybe ministering and among his disciples, maybe looking down the road, I don't know what scenario or what they were doing in the particular occasion, but a messenger comes down the road. Something has happened in Bethany. There's a family there that Jesus loves, and something has happened. There are three people that are mentioned. There's Mary, and there's Martha, and there's Lazarus. And this man named Lazarus has died. He has died. Or rather, he's gotten sick, I should say. He will die, but he's gotten sick. And we need to know about this man named Lazarus. The Bible talks about here. He has come, and the Bible mentions in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I'm going to tell you, this family is an important family to this town. This is not just your run-of-the-mill family. This family is an important family to this town. I think it's interesting, and it's called the town of Mary. It's not called the town of Lazarus or the town of Martha. Their house is in it, but Mary is her town. Glory to God. This woman of devotion is noted in this town. You may think some of those folks that are so extravagant in their praises and in their devotion to God that would rather be at the feet of Jesus and they would everywhere anywhere else. You may think they're just emotional. You may think they're just a little bit far-fetched and fanatical. But I can tell you, God thinks they're special. God thinks they're great. Amen. And I want you to know that God loves this family. And this man Lazarus, he has gotten sick. And there, while they are there, the Bible talks about which Mary it is. But Jesus is there in Bethabara. And we find out that maybe he can see it. I don't know. But there's a messenger coming down the road, and he gets to Jesus and he tells him that, and he says he finds him, and when he finds him, he said he brings him a message. I'm bringing you a message from Mary and from Martha. The man that you love is sick. The man that you love is sick. I want you to know it's not just the man that Jesus loves. It's the man I believe that this town loves as well. It's a man that Martha and Mary loves. This is a man beloved not just by the Lord, but by many. And I just want you to know here, first of all, what we have. We've got a family that is precious. We've got two sisters and a brother that live together in the same house. And this brother is probably one who provides sustenance for this home. He's maybe the leading breadwinner, and somehow he has got sick. They didn't have women in careers in those days like we typically have today, and therefore these women are very dependent, and this brother is special unto them, and they need, no doubt, him in their home. They are providing, but he has got sick. Have you ever been in a situation where there was something that was an essential in your life? There was something there that you depended on, and it was something that God had given. It was something that was a normal part of your life. It wasn't an idol to you, but it was dear to you nonetheless. It wasn't something you worship, but something that was a part of your daily life and experience and sustenance. And now all of a sudden, that thing is in danger of being taken away from you. I need to tell you right now that the church needs to get a hold of God more than ever, because not only are we in danger of losing a worker among us, but I'm telling you, across the church world, we're in danger of losing the presence of God. We're in danger of losing the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And if the presence of God is taken from us and we lose the power of God in our midst, you and I, my friend, have lost everything.
Come on, preach.
We need the presence of God to sustain us. We need the power of God to keep us. We don't need signs and wonders to entertain us. We need them in order to confirm the church and the message of God and to edify the church. I don't read where the gifts of the Spirit are given so they can entertain the church. I don't also read where they were for a particular generation. I read that they are there for the edification of the church. And I'm here to tell you, the church needs edification. The church needs built up, and the church needs to be made strong again in the power of God. This is obviously more than a cold or a passing virus. This is more than a man just getting sick and an upset stomach, ate the wrong thing, got a little bug, got a runny nose, stubbed his toe. This has caused so much concern that these sisters have felt it necessary to get a message to the master. To get a message. I want you to notice where they sent that message. They didn't call for the rabbis. They didn't go down and ask for the Pharisees to come. They didn't send to Jerusalem and lend to that religious crowd to see if they could get something. No, sir. They didn't call for those that were around them that might be considered to be great men. They sought out the one that they knew that could make a difference in their life. I'm telling you, too many times a church is going in so many directions, looking in this area and that area. But I'm here to tell you, even in our nation, we're looking for this thing to happen and that thing to happen. We're looking for this man to help us and that man to help us. We're looking to psychology. We're looking to humanism and to the arm of flesh. We wish we could have someone else that can fix our economic problems, that can fix our medical problems and physical problems. But I'm here to tell you, there isn't but one that holds the answer to the difficulty that you and I face today. There isn't but one man who can fix what you and I are facing in this hour. And what America's facing cannot be fixed by a man. It cannot be fixed by a new Congress. It cannot be fixed by an election. It cannot be fixed by a new economic policy. The only thing that's going to fix America is the man from Galilee by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is our only hope.
Amen.
I don't care what dilemma you're facing. There are too many times we're sitting around, we're waiting for men to change. I don't read where even Martha and Mary hollered for the physicians. They sent for Jesus. They sent for Jesus. So many times we say, well, I just hope things will get better. Martha and Mary didn't sit there and say, I hope things will get better. They didn't sit there and say, you know what? Maybe if this would happen, it wouldn't be this way. Or maybe if this would happen, things would change. I didn't hear where, you know what, they're blaming this or blaming that. They got a dilemma, and they get a message to the one who can fix the dilemma. We're in in a dilemma today. You may not sense it. Oh, but I've sensed it for some time. And I believe now's the time that God's fixing the work, because we're calling on the one that can change it. Somewhere you and I got to know there is nobody that can help us but Jesus Christ. Nobody can turn your family around. Nobody can turn your life around. Nobody can turn the church around. Nobody can affect America but Jesus Christ. Nobody can change the situation that we're in but the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able. Notice it in verse 3. I'm just going to take this thing as God laid it out here. I made some notes, but I'm going to forget them. I just want to go down through these verses and bring out some things. When Jesus heard that, I want you to know they sent a message. Lord, what a strange message. But behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Can I tell you something? They didn't put any demands on Jesus. They didn't tell him how to fix the problem. They didn't even tell him to come. I don't know. They knew if he was there, it could make a difference. But I got to believe that this family, their faith is much like that centurion's. All you got to do is say the word. You don't even have to come to my house. All you got to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. They know about, no doubt, the healing of that noble man's son. Oh, the son is miles away. Oh, the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman possessed of a devil is miles away. But the Lord doesn't have to come to the town in order to get an answer through to God. He doesn't have to be there on location visibly, because he is everywhere. He's not just man, he's God in the flesh. He's still omnipresent. He's still omnipresent. He can manifest himself wherever he wants to manifest himself. Just because he's taken on flesh does not mean he's forfeited his divine power and his divine ability. If he wants to touch a man that's on another planet, he can touch him on another planet, because where God is, there is power. Hallelujah. So many times we want God to do it this way. We want God to do it that way. Lord, I got to see it happen. I got to see this. I got to see that. Lord, you have to do it here. Lord, you've got to come. You got to fix it this way. So many times we place the demands, but they have simply made a declaration. They have just sent a piece of information, because they know the heart of Jesus, and they know how much he loves them, and they know the ability of Jesus. They know he has the power to heal, and they know he loves. And when God loves, he's ready to reach out. There's two things that you and I have got to get settled. We've got to know God's heart. We've got to know how God thinks. We've got to know how God feels. We've got to understand what God wants to do in this hour. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to save. He wants to set free. His heart hasn't changed. From the day he walked the shores of Galilee, the heart of Jesus is still the same. And I want you to notice, the second thing is we must know the power of God. We must know that God wants to do it, and we must know that God can do it. We must know that God loves us, and that God will take care of us and has the ability and the power to take care of us. If you are convinced of those two things, you'll send to the doctors. If you are convinced of those two things, you'll send over to the psychologist. You'll send down the road for the pastor. You'll send up the road for this person. You'll send over yonder. Tell me how many times are you and I looking this way and that way when our help comes from above, from the one who made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the one who created us. My help doesn't come from the hills. It comes from the Lord of glory, who gives me all that I need to carry on.
Amen.
The one that you love, Lord, is sick. What does that say about the heart of Jesus? That these folks can just simply tell him, Lord, there's someone here that is like your brother. This word lovest here is the Greek word phileo, which means that affectionate brotherly love. And he said he's sick. Now, the Bible said that when Jesus heard that he made a declaration. The messenger came, the messenger got in his presence and said, the one that you love, a message from Mary and Martha. They didn't even give his name. They didn't say Lazarus is sick. They said the one you love is sick. Didn't even have to name him. Can I tell you, God knows your name. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Oh, Oh, I'm telling you, what an affection that the Father has. What an affection that the Son has for this man. The one whom you love is sick. And Jesus immediately responds, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness, I wonder if not, the messenger heard it. And he was immediately dispatched. And he goes back to the house of Mary and Martha. Maybe there's time. I do not think so. Given the time frame of this, it probably is such a, by the time the messenger got to Jesus, and Lazarus is already dead. Because when Jesus gets to Lazarus, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus stayed 2 days in Bethabara. And then it probably took a day, at least a day, for the messenger to get to Jesus. From the time they dispatched him, he was alive. Because they said, the messenger is sick. He hadn't died. He's got at least a day to get to Jesus. He gets to Jesus. Jesus stays there 2 days. That's three. And by the time that Jesus, at least now, probably takes more. It's at least 30 miles. Probably that's more than a day's walk. But then in time Jesus gets to Bethany, the Bible said he's been in the grave 4 days. Now they didn't spend long time with viewings and chill them and keep them for 2 or 3 days. They were probably buried within 24 hours of death during that time because they did not have any type of embalming. But understand this. I would say by the time that messenger probably before he even got out of Bethany, that Lazarus has already succumbed. And imagine if that messenger gets back and says, this sickness is not unto death. Martha and Mary are in quandary. How can you mean that? The breath has already left his body. And when they see the messenger coming, it's already too late. I wonder how many of us, bad news begets bad news. And we all just think it's too late. It's over. Nothing can happen. It's not over until God says that it's over. It's not done until God has made the final pronouncement upon the situation. Can I tell you that God does not see your dilemma like you do? To Mary and Martha, it's a sickness, it's devastating, it's coming on fast. We don't have time and we can't bear to lose our brother. But Jesus says, what an occasion for God to be glorified. He didn't look at it as a situation of just that, I got to gratify some folks. I got to entertain some folks. Hey, I can just do something to impress some people here. He says, now I got a situation and God's going to be glorified. This sickness isn't unto death. It's for the glory of God. But oh, we can't hear that because for us, death has already come in the door. For us, it's a difficult time. If you think about it, I mean, here it is and I just want to go there for a moment if you will. I want you to try to get with me with Mary and Martha and let's just feel a little bit of their scenario and their pain. They're in Bethany and Jesus is miles away. Their brother's fallen sick. He's dying. And they can sense that death is coming to him. And this is a serious condition. We've got to get Jesus. We've got to get word and let him know that we are in trouble. And word gets to him. But probably by the time that takes place, this man has already died. Imagine if you're there with him and you're looking over the hill. Now you don't do know that God raises from the dead. You do know that in the life of Jesus that there has been a little girl. She was still in the house. They had no doubt brought her there. They hadn't even wrapped her. She had just died. It is a situation where death had been just moments away. And the Lord comes in and he raised Jairus' daughter. We had another situation where you know what? He was there and he was laid on the coffin and they were carrying him out to bury him. And Jesus raised him. So they know that power. And now they're looking down the road, but instead of seeing Jesus and his company, over the hill comes the messenger. And when he gets there, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But we got a problem. He's already died. Now it seems like in your mind, there's a contradiction between reality and what God has declared. Because here the brother is dead, but God has said it's not unto death. Sometimes it looks like the reality of our situation is in contradiction to the declaration of God. But you need to learn to put your faith not in what you can feel, not in what you can see, but in the invisible God that speaks to us and gives his life-giving power.
Amen.
And here, if you can just bear with me for a few moments, I'm just thinking through Martha and Mary. They take him. When the breath goes out of that body, they bend and they give the last kiss. And they kiss probably that forehead. They close those eyes. And then they bring those spices. And they begin to put those spices and perfumes on that body. And then they'll take a linen cloth and of some material, and they'll begin to wrap that body up and those spices inside. In that hot country, you've got to bury within 24 hours or you're going to be in trouble and you're going to have a smell. But they'll lay that body up for just a little while. The wailers come in, and more particularly women, many of them, but they'll come in and they'll begin to cry. Many of them maybe pull their hair out. Some of them rend their garments. Mary and Martha are in the house of death. All they've got is that the sickness is not into death, but death is all around them. They can smell it. The perfume is on that body in the next room. There's no life. There's no breath. If there's ever a hopeless situation, it's hopeless. And I'm telling you, but I can see Martha and Mary just venture over to the wind and look out, hoping that across that horizon will come that one whose face they have seen so many times, with that band of soldiers and band of disciples around him, and can see them coming down, high stepping it toward the house of Martha and Mary. But over the horizon only comes more wailers, more folks from Jerusalem to try to comfort you in your difficult hour. Oh, I'm telling you, the best I can do is to comfort you. The best I can do is try to make you feel a little more comfortable. But Jesus Christ can actually change the situation that you are in. But now, there's no appearance. And imagine this woman, Martha and Mary, these women who love God, who've given their all for Him, who've served Him, who have probably suffered shame already at His for His name's sake. And then they come to Mary and they come to Martha and they say, "It's time. It's time now. You just need to focus here. You got a situation here. We can't wait any longer, Mary. I know you want him to come, but he hasn't come. And that body is going to start decomposing. Right. We've got to get it buried." Yeah. Come on, Mary. You're going to have to straighten up. Come on, Martha. Yeah. You're going to have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, so to speak. And you're just going to have to tough this one out. Maybe you misunderstood. Maybe he's got distracted. And it just is going to be, you know what? You'll see it in the resurrection. Oh, but the sickness is not in the death. I'm sorry, Mary. We got to do it. Okay. So they take off. They load that body on like a buckboard with a couple of poles. And they begin that parade and procession unto the hillside to find that tomb. And they go up there, and the wailers every little bit are crying out. Oh! And the death, the sound of it is heard through the valley. I'm telling you, the devil's been screaming in your ear, and you've been hearing the wail of death. Nobody can be saved. Oh, we can't have revival. Oh, we're never going to see miracles. Oh, my loved one has never been saved. All I can tell you is there's a Jesus of Nazareth who knows what he's doing. And you may not yet see him, but he still is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
And you're in a funeral procession, and Jesus is camped out in Bethabara. And I can see Mary as she's walking along the wailers. I can see her eyes. I don't know what the direction was, but I can just see her eyes looking. There's yet hope. He raised the widow's name, son, in the procession. Right. And she watches over that heels for that company coming over the horizon. But only more wailers. Nothing more but folks who are going to join the funeral procession. Right. Oh, the heart is literally breaking inside of her. Her heart and Martha's heart, they are crying. They've been wailing and weeping for a couple of days, no doubt. And just grieved beyond our imagination. And they get to that tomb. It's over, Mary. It's over. It's time. And they take that body and they put it in that tomb. This is day one. They put it in that tomb. It's there. Martha and Mary will cry. And then that stone stone will be rolled over. And I'm telling you, probably as the dust kicked up and the sound of the thud of that stone just felt like probably death had gripped their hearts. And it just was a thud inside of them. And now what's going to happen? You've never seen him do this. It's done. He's only did it when there's a funeral procession. When the body was visible, it's over. It's done, Mary. And she goes back to the house. She lays down that night. And she's there all night long. And I'm telling you, she gets up the next day and she looks out the window. But there's still no Jesus. I'm telling you, you want to talk about hopeless. When you know death has set in. When you know now it seems nothing can change it. It's locked up. My hope, what I needed, what I depended on, is locked away. It's sealed. It's forever gone. Maybe Jesus can bring me some money. Maybe he can bring me some support. Maybe he'll show me somebody else to help me. We're always trying to figure a way out. But I'm telling you, don't give up. Don't quit. Because God has said it's not unto death.
Amen.
I could see her. They spent frequent time, particularly the women, every day. I will guarantee you that every day Martha and Mary, they left that house and others would go with them. And they would go out to that tomb. And they would wail. Maybe they carry flowers. I'm telling you, the church has been back to the place. And it looks like things have been buried. And the best we can do is garnish the tomb. The best we can do is lament over what was. The best we can do is sit and talk about, well, I wish it hadn't been this way. Well, I wish it had never come. I'm telling you, somewhere we got to get beyond it. God wants you to know something today. That death is fixing to meet life. But day one, he's already been in the tomb a day, 24 hours. She may get up the next morning. She looks out on the horizon and still know Jesus. Still. Oh, she can just see a little cloud of dust. And that company, because one thing she knows about Jesus, if he doesn't raise up Lazarus, he can at least bring a comfort that nobody else can come. We expect so little of our Lord. I'm telling you, we expect so little of our Lord. We explain it away. We're ready to make funeral plans. When God's ready to give us life, we're ready to sit down and give it up and cash it in and talk about what was. When we've still got a hope that's coming over the horizon, and I don't care how far it's gone, God's able to bring it back to life. Hallelujah. Day two. Day three. She gets up. Maybe there's a little cloud of dust. Folks are coming down. Who is that? Maybe that's him. No. Just more folks coming from Jerusalem to comfort you. Just more folks coming to tell you, look, it's life. It happens to all of us.
Right.
You can't expect your brother. We don't find that he was old and decrepit. He may have been a young man. But they needed him. He's dead, Mary. You're going to have to get over it. He's dead, Mary. You're just going to have to accept it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting weary of accepting the status quo. I'm getting weary of bellying up and accepting things just because somebody thinks it's impossible to see them change. Come on now. But that's all we can do is come and just comfort. Well, it's going to be all right. You know, you're just going to have to accept it. Lazarus is gone. He is already decomposing, Mary. He is already decomposing, Martha. Martha has probably already settled it in her heart. And it's done. But day four comes. And day four, Mary is in the depths of despair. But there is now a little company of men. A band of men that comes over the hillside. And you can see them out on the horizon. And I recognize that leading figure. Martha leaves the house. She hears it. He's on his way. Someone, they must have sentries posted somewhere. They've got some folks out there looking. And they're out there looking. And they run to Martha. He's on his way. Martha gets out of the house. This time it's Martha. And she goes out to meet the Lord before he ever gets to the house. And says, if you had been here, Lord, my brother had not died. I can hear a little ounce of criticism in her. I can hear some frustration in that voice. I can hear some, Lord, you should have been here. Why did you tarry in Bethabara? You could have turned this situation around. Lazarus did not have to die. Why has this happened? I can hear that question. Not so much disrespectful, but just a sense of frustration in the voice. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you and I don't learn to get honest with God, we're not going to get anywhere. Jesus didn't rebuke her for being honest. He didn't knock her down because she spoke her heart. The Bible said we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Get your heart open and tell God how you feel.
Come on. Go ahead. Everybody. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thing gripped me Thursday afternoon. I said, God, this is how I feel. I've had it with this. I ain't got to accept death. I ain't got to accept something I don't believe you sent. Amen. Come on, church. We just want to take everything as the will of God. Well, it's just the will of God. Well, it's just the will of God. Ain't the will of God for your loved one to die and go to hell. Ain't the will of God for us to go on and not have revival. It ain't the will of God for signs and wonders to leave the church. It ain't the will of God for saints to mope around in carnality and wickedness. It ain't the will of God for us to get down in the dumps and live there. It ain't the will of God for our churches to be separated and divided. It ain't the will of God for there to be apostasy and deception and the church. It ain't the will of God for us to sit back and do nothing and say, I hope it gets better. The will of God is that we rise up in faith and know that there's a master who is the master of the sea, and everything must come when he beckons.
Amen. Oh yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. You hold that thought between Martha and Jesus, and I'm going to back up a minute. And I want to change the scene for a moment from Bethany to Bethabara. He whom thou lovest, Lord, is sick. You got your Bible, son? You with me, Andrew? We get to that verse. He whom thou lovest is sick. I don't often preach like this, but you just hang with me today. You got that verse? And then Jesus said to them, the Bible said, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but this is for the glory of God. This is that the Son of God may be glorified. Is that right? And then I think the next verse says that he loved them. Is that what it says? Read that verse.
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
All right. And then Jesus did something. The Bible said then that Jesus, he stayed 2 days more where he was. That was Bethabara. Put the scriptures together. He stayed there where John was baptizing. That's where he stays, all right? Now, you got to connect that verse where he stayed 2 days more. What number is that?
Number six
with number five. Because we are told that Jesus loved. And now the word love is not the word phileo. It's agape. And it said that Jesus loves who? Martha. And her sister. And Lazarus. He loves these folks. And then it says he stayed 2 days more. There are many times when we interpret the actions of God as if he doesn't love us. Because there is going to be a purposeful delay in the answer to our prayer. I'm telling you, he willfully, he decidedly stayed in Bethabara. He did not move when they gave the request. He did not immediately go. He just told them, it's not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. And there's sometimes that God deliberately delays a request. Not because he wants to see you in pain. Not because he enjoys your suffering. But he's got a higher cause. He's got a greater purpose. He's got something else he wants to do here. And he's going to show his glory. But he wants you to know something. Before we get to the point that he said that he stayed in Bethabara, he made a decision to tarry that would lead him being in the tomb 4 days. I want you to know he told us he loved them. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when Jesus did that, do not think that Jesus' heart inside was just a little bit of nothing. His heart was in Bethany. But the will of God said, you stay. You will stay right here. The Father demanded, you will stay in Bethabara. But his heart could feel. He knew what was happening. He could see Martha at the window. He could see Mary. He could see, no doubt, as they laid Lazarus on that bier and carried him out under the tomb. He could hear them wailing at the tomb. He could see the pain in their heart. But he said, not yet. I'm here to tell you, you need to know, just because there's a delay doesn't mean God doesn't love you. God still loves you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You've got to get that settled in your heart. Because if you aren't convinced that God loves you, you're a goner. And I don't mean this kind of sense that just, yeah, God is generally benevolent to me. No, 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 no. I'm talking about that God loves me. This is agape love. He loves me so much, He's willing to give His life for me. I'm telling you that Jesus, although He is delaying that answer, in His heart, it is throbbing because He knows the pain that's in His people. And He knows how the devil will work in that time when God seems to be silent. How when it seems that there's a contradiction between the words you've got from God and between what reality is screaming in your ear. And the devil is whispering, God's forsaken you. God doesn't love you. It's not possible. You can't see it again. It's not going to take place. And Jesus knows it. But He doesn't reach forth to stop it. He doesn't reach forth to shut the devil down. He doesn't stop the enemy from lying in your ear. He doesn't stop the scream of the wailers. He doesn't stop them from putting that body and burying it in the tomb. He doesn't rain lightning and thunderbolts from heaven and blow up the tomb and put an earthquake so that everything is distracted. No, He lets the funeral procession go on. He lets the body decompose. He lets it be put away. He lets it get to the place where it seems like there's nothing can help you. All the light is shut out of your life. And you're just going to have to accept the inevitable. I'm telling you, but somewhere we've got to know that in the heart of God, while you and I are grieving, He feels our pain where we're at. Because He loves us.
Yeah.
And then after He's waited 2 days, if I could put it this way, while you are in agony, God is in agony. He's hurting. He's hurting because He knows what's happening in Bethany. If you think that God enjoys watching His people suffer, you have a perverted view of God. If you think that God wants to hear us groan in our miseries, it's been finally the groanings of His people that have evoked His mercies from heaven. When those groanings were coming up out of Egypt because of the lashes of the lash of the Egyptian masters across their backs, and the people groaned under the weight. I'm telling you right now, it was those groanings that got a God in heaven upon His throne and said, that's it. That's enough. God wasn't looking down on saying goody two shoes. He wasn't looking down and saying, I like to see him suffer. Ah, this will be good for them. No, I'm telling you, this is His creation. This is the people that He has birthed. This is the people that He's given life to. I'm telling you, the seed of God is in us, and the Son of God dwells in us, and we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when the people of God are in distress, the heart of God is agonizing, and the heart of God is aching to come and touch His people. But the time must be right. The time must be right that God can receive maximum glory and praise.
Amen.
Even now, doubt wants to descend upon you. Even now, it's got to be more than an emotion. Even now, some of you, we have got to get this settled in our heart and in our mind. He didn't put that story there to entertain us. He put that story to tell us there that God is able to do something when it looks like it's impossible for God to work.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then something happens. He said, all right, let's go. We're going back to Judea. I got to go wake up Lazarus. He's sleeping. And here comes that voice of reason. Have you lost your mind? They were just ready to stone you. And you're going back there. Can I tell you something? God don't mind facing opposition for you.
Right.
Why should we mind facing it for Him?
Go ahead.
He's not concerned about Himself. He cares about Mary and Martha.
Right.
And the glory of God.
Yes. Come on.
I can't tell you how many times I hear that voice in the church. Well, now we got to use wisdom. That's what they were saying. Well, now, Lord, you need to use wisdom here. It's not smart for you to go back to Judea. They're going to stone you there. I'm glad for some folks who can put aside the voice of humanistic rationale and reason and wisdom and hear a voice that comes from the throne room. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. I told you to stay here 2 days, but the voice of the Father and the Holy Ghost now speaks in the heart of Jesus Christ. You can go now. You've had denials. You've hurt for them. Get up and go. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I would we could hear a voice that didn't come from the rationale of men. I would we could hear a voice that didn't come from the comforters of society. I would we could hear a voice that went somewhere radical, that went beyond what we thought was wise, what we thought was prudent, and got down to what God can do. Hallelujah. Almighty God. It's not prudent to stick your rod out and hope that a Red Sea divides. It's not prudent to hit a big rock with a stick and expect a river to come out of it. But if God says do it, I say do it. Glory to God. Give me some men who would defy the prudence of men and depend on the power and the might of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Well, you might fall flat on your face. Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah. At least I fail believing.
That's right. Come on.
Instead of trying to save my hide through prudence.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't do that, Jesus. Hey, if he's only sleeping, what's the big deal?
Right.
See, sometimes God's trying to teach us a new perspective on life. But we can't learn it because all we can think about is saving our hide. It's only a couple times he's mentioned this. But he's trying to get them to get a new perspective on death. Whoever believes on me shall never die.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And for a saint of God, I'm going to tell you, if I die, I really haven't died.
Right.
You hear me?
Right.
You hear me? I know that body, there might be something you call physical death, but Jesus doesn't even see it that way.
Right.
It isn't nothing but laying down to sleep.
Right.
It isn't nothing but a little temple time. Hallelujah. Where the soul is separated from the body, but knows something. Resurrection's coming. And all that resurrection up is a wake-up call. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just a big old trumpet to reach down and wake us up, glory to the Lamb of God, to bring our soul and spirit and reunite it with that body and lift us up to ever be in the presence of God Almighty. Somewhere you and I have got to hear a sound and a voice that goes beyond what men think is prudent and hear the voice of God Almighty and depend on God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Go ahead.
Help me, Lord, please. Hang with me just a few more minutes. Here comes this voice. They can't hear what the Lord wants to tell them. So now he's just got to hit them right between the eyes. Fellas, he's dead. He's dead. And then I hear Thomas. That's his Hebrew name. His Greek name is Didymus. It means twin. Well, come on, fellas, let's go. It must have been a little bit of a hesitation. The Lord gets up and starts stepping out towards Jerusalem. I'm gone. It's time to go. Come on, fellas, let's go. Let's just go die with him. I don't know whether he meant that about Jesus or Lazarus. It could be either one. It doesn't make any difference. But if Lazarus is dead, well, we're going to go up there and they're going to kill us, so we'll just join him. Well, or Jesus isn't dead, but he soon will be. So we just well go die with him.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and you see those folks that go along with you. But they're pessimists. They're griping all the way. They're complaining all the way. They're fussing at you all the way. They're trying to hold you back all the way. They're reasoning with you all the way. They're telling you you lost your marbles, but they'll be there. Well, praise the Lord. I reckon it's better there than not. Amen. Well, I'm glad they're there. So not only does Jesus have to bear the load of what's back there, but He's got to bear the load of that crowd that's coming along with Him. And now they're coming. And here they come over the horizon. And when He doesn't get to the house, and now He gets up to the place near the house or wherever, and now Martha runs out to meet Him, and now we're back to Martha and Mary. Oh Lord, if You had been here, my brother had not died. What's this, Martha? Who believes on me, He's not going to die. Oh Lord, you know, she talks about, I know He's going to live in the resurrection. That's us. We only see our hope as future. We only see that God can do it somewhere down the road. We only see that it can be the next service. It can be the next day. You and I have got to get a today hope. We have got to get a now hope. We have got to get, so there comes a time, and I don't need an answer tomorrow. I don't need an answer next week. I need an answer now. I'm not looking for it next service. I'm not waiting for revival to fall next Sunday morning. How about now? How about now, glory to the Lamb of God? How about now? We haven't got our hearts conditioned. We haven't got our spirits conditioned. We're coming in, the same old world is pulling at us. We're going every direction. We pray for revival and we come in. Our mind is still distracted. Why don't we come in and say, today's the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. He's coming over that horizon. He's coming over that horizon. But wait, He's in the grave 4 days. I don't care. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Well, I know He'll live in the resurrection. Martha, you're looking at the resurrection.
Yeah.
I'm the resurrection. You get that? I'm going to thank God for His mercy. You know why I've got hope this morning? Not because I really feel great faith coming from this congregation. Even sometimes for myself. But because I believe that God's going to do it in spite sometimes of our faith. I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't an ounce of faith in that crowd. Jesus didn't say when He stood at that tomb, I'm glad You heard the prayers of these people. He said, Father, I'm glad You heard me. Glory to the Lamb of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I waited for it to happen on my faith or your faith, I got a feeling I don't know what happened or not. But there's a God who knows the urgency of the hour. And that's been the hope that's risen in my heart. That what the prophet Habakkuk said. Oh Lord, okay, You've declared judgment. Then I'll pray this. In the midst of the years, make known. In the midst of wrath, remember mercy. Revive Thy work in the midst of the years, oh Lord. Okay Lord, You're going to do this. I'm not going to trust anything that I am. I feel like sometimes my faith is excelling. And if I can reach the heavens. And sometimes I feel like I can't even get it to escape my body. And to get beyond my head. I'm telling you, but it doesn't matter how I feel. God says it's time. God says it's time. And I wish we could get enough vision to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Bring it on. Bring it on. Glory to God. God will do it. I'm just working to convince me that God is God and God's going to do this for His name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so off I have told you that I am with you, saith God. I know those that doubt. I know those that are skeptics. But will you hear me, my people? Will you hear me this morning? Will you know that what I say is true? Will you just simply take the word that I have given unto you? For I'm going to do it. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to mend. I'm going to show you my glory. And how much sweeter it will be for you if you will rise up and trust me and hang on me and depend on me and cling to me and don't let go no matter what happens. For I am your God. I am your God. And I love you. I feel for you. I know where you're at. And I am reaching to you, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fight it. You hear me this morning, church? Fight it. You hear the voice of faith in one side of your ear, and you fear the voice of doubt and reason in the other side of your ear. What it is, because in one side you feel it. You feel like your faith wants to soar like an eagle. And then those old chains of doubt and fear want to pull you back down to the reality of your situation, to the hunger and the difficulty you're having, to the pain in your body, to the racking of your mind. I'm telling you somewhere, fight it! Fight it! Because God's coming over the horizon. Put your faith in an omnipotent God who will revive His work in the midst of the years. Hallelujah. Martha leaves his presence. As I was with your forefathers, so I will be with you. As I was with them of old, so I will be with you. I have not changed. My purpose has not changed. My power has not diminished. I say, rise up, my people, and trust me. Believe me. You have prayed for revival, then believe for revival. You have prayed because I have put this in your heart. You have sought me for these things because I have stirred you up. You have come to me because I have stirred your heart. I have done this because I have purposed to do a work among you. Now know that I have purposed it and bank and rest in it. But I, the Lord God, have confirmed it to you again and again and again and again. Do not doubt my words, but hear my voice, that your day of visitation may be a day of rejoicing and a day of joy and not a day of despair, saith the Lord God.
That's it!
Right. 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 Right.
told me that your favorite is mass 8 months ago or so. I prayed for him up in the hospital. 8 months ago, the Holy Ghost said that he was healed. I stand upon that word. I stand upon that
prayer. Come on, brother, come on.
I stand upon my reputation, my salvation. Yeah. I stand upon the word of God.
Come on, brother.
The promises of God.
Come on, brother.
Go ahead. Let it be so.
That's it. That's it, amen. That's it. That's it. Glory. Oh, my Lord and my God. Help us. I don't know about you this morning, but I am not interested in maintaining the status quo. Amen. I am not interested in being a church that is Pentecostal in name only. Yesterday I was on the street of Washington, North Carolina, and I got cussed out for being a Pentecostal. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Right. Amen.
It means that Pentecostal did something beyond the norm.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
We had done nothing more than the nominal churches. We'd have never stirred up anything.
Right.
But those tongue talkers started shaking the towns up. Come on now.
Right.
Those tongue talkers started seeing something happen. It wasn't happening in the Baptist churches.
Right.
It wasn't happening in the Methodist churches. It wasn't getting done by the Presbyterians. But it happened in the middle of those tongue talkers. They started seeing miracles. They started seeing the power of God to liberate men. I'm here to tell you, thank God and let it come again. I say let it come again. Hallelujah. God's in this house right here this morning. And I believe I've got the mind of God. I don't know where your mind is, but I believe I've got the mind of God. Now you can stand or sit, but I'm going to preach a little bit more to you with this message. But I feel like God wants you to hear it. You can stand, you can sit down. I don't care. It's all right. Ain't nothing with us interrupting a message. Was the time of praise and worship. This is one time I feel like God wants me to finish. So Martha, the Lord tells her, and she takes off for the house, and Mary's in the house. This woman that has been at the feet of Jesus devoted is in the depths of despair. And Martha comes in and she says, Mary, the Master's got here. Something she wanted. At least five, probably 6 days ago. Something she wanted a week ago. It's a week late. Has now got here. But thank God that there's a devotion enough in this woman that when the Master says do something, she does it. She may have inside of her a turmoil, but the John that is swelling like a hurricane and a tornado. I cannot even fathom the emotions that that woman has went through. 4 days of weeping at a tomb. 4 days of taking flowers and laying what looks on the empty promise. Because all she can smell is death. 4 days of looking over the horizon and nothing coming, and hopes are all dead. But when Master speaks, she's learned enough. She's got enough devotion in her. She's got enough of faith in her to say, I'm going. Oh, Ramashamahayamahaya. It may not be my faith that brought him. It may not be because I prayed a great prayer that brought it in. But if God speaks to me in the midst of the hour and says, do something, let me have enough devotion. Let me have enough love and enough obedience to get up out of my pool of sorrow, to get up out of my place of wailing, to get up out of the stench of death and go out and see what the Master's got to say. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Did you notice that the Master called for her? He didn't go to her. He said, you come to me. I'm going to tell you, God's not coming to your place of self-pity.
Come on, brother. Go ahead.
God's not going to go to that place of wailing. He's not going to go there. He went in the place of Jairus' daughter. And he shut him out. Get out of here. You're full of doubt and you ain't seeing this now. Mary, get away from that voice of weeping. Get away from that voice of reason that's telling you it can't happen. Get away from that psychology and that humanistic reason that has told you for the last 5 days that it isn't going to happen. It's over. Your hope has been buried. Come on, Mary. Get away from it. I'm calling you to come unto me. That's what God's been trying to do with us in the last months. He ain't coming down to where you and I are in sorrow. He ain't going to come there where He can just come and put a hand on us and say, it'll be all right now. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. And it's going to be all right. No, I'm telling you, He's calling you up out of it. He's got another place to go. And He's calling you to come with Him. He's not going to come down there and follow and wallow in your pity and just put an arm around you. He didn't come to put a band-aid on it. He came to bring restoration. Death. Death is fixing to face life. And life is going to win. Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead. Yes.
And when she gets there, she does what she's accustomed to doing. And she falls at His feet. And she says, Master, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I don't hear criticism in her voice because it's not her nature. Martha said it face to face. Mary fell at His feet. From Mary I hear, Master, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. But I still love you. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to learn to love God no matter what happens. And do you know what the Bible then talks about Jesus? He groaned in His spirit. And He was troubled, the Bible said. That word groan means it is like having a whole band of horses that they are ready to launch out and take off. And you've got to take the bridle and reel it in. I'm telling you that our God's got more power in His pinky, if I can put it in your language, than this world has ever gotten. The biggest jet engine, the biggest nuclear bomb, and all the armies of the world, and all the might and power of the world together.
Amen.
God's got more power in one atom of His breath than they've gotten everything they could ever put together.
Right.
And I'm telling you, you know what Jesus did? He could feel it rising up within Him right then. He has seen. He is angry at the enemy. He is angry. I think His mind goes all the way back to Eden and what that serpent did in the garden. How He deceived His people and brought them into the bondage of death. I'm telling you, the Prince of Life is standing on this earth, and He has felt what death has done to His people. He has seen the hurt. He has seen the agony. He has seen what sin has brought to the culture. He has seen the humanistic reasoning that has got men to turn them away from Him. And I'm telling you, He is like a whole host of horses that's ready to devour and stomp this thing down. And He says, I got to hold it back. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Glory to God. You may be idle, but God's sitting on go. You may be sitting there listless, but the Son of God is ready to stretch His hand out and bring victory. Hallelujah.
That's right.
He was troubled. The Bible said He troubled Himself. That's the idea. The idea is He had to restrain Himself. He had to hold it in. Where's He at? Glory to God.
Glory.
Where'd you lay Him?
Yeah.
The weeping.
Hallelujah.
The crying. Mary's still crying. The wailers are still wailing.
Yeah.
And they say, I wonder if He'd have been here, if He could have even turned it around. Imagine that. I'm glad that God will take us to a higher level even when we can't see it.
Amen.
There ain't one person in the crowd that day that has one iota of what Jesus is fixing to do. And I think there's a good portion of the church world that is clueless even into this church of what God's fixing to do. Come on. You may not feel it. Oh, glory to God. Where's He at? And He going that way, He begins, as He restrains Himself, He looks around and can see them. The Bible says Jesus wept, and now it's a different word. Now it's just a sense of that sorrow. And again, He feels the pain of humility. At first, it's the idea of His anger. And He's snorting at the nostrils, ready to take the enemy apart. And He restrains Himself. He pulls Himself back to humanity. And the tears. This is no wail that comes from the Lord. This is no great depths of crying. But as a tear begins to flood down His cheek, because He really feels for humanity. Our High Priest is touched with our infirmities.
Amen. Amen.
Our High Priest feels our weaknesses.
Right.
Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And then He goes, and now there's another procession to the graveyard. Hallelujah. There's no bier, there's no coffin. But off they go, but this time Master is leading. And when they get there, He tells them to do something that again defies the humanistic reasoning. Take the stone away. Lord, what are You talking about? I know You raised up that one that was on the bier.
Yes.
And we're the names, son. And I know that other girl, she hadn't been dead too long, Jairus' daughter. But Lord, He's already putrefying.
Right.
There's probably some maggots that's already got a hold of Him.
Right.
He stinks.
Yes.
He is already corrupting.
Yeah.
Would there be anybody in this crowd that would quit giving me reasons of why I shouldn't believe in God. And somebody that would just say, would you please roll the stone away? Ooh, glory. Would somebody quit giving me a reason of why I should give up? And somebody would come out and say, I help you, brother. Roll the stone away. Come on. God told you to do it, then let's do it. I know it's going to stink. I tell you what we'll do. We'll wrap our noses up with Vic Sad. And let's roll that stone away. There'll not be a stench. It'll come from that grave. But I'm telling you, death is fixing to meet with life. There's something fixing to happen. Oh, when we can do it. And somewhere I think we need to do it. We need to peel the stone back and just let them see. Let the rock be seen. Let us be exposed for what it is. Just let the Lord expose it for what it is. And then let Him speak His word and let life come out of it. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why don't you pull the stone away on all your doubts? On all your putrefaction. Quit covering up your sins. Quit hiding your iniquities. Quit trying to make us think it's better, and we know it ain't. You're dead. You're dried up on the inside. God moves. You don't feel anything. Why don't you quit listening and making excuses? Why don't you quit listening to the crowd around you? Why don't you quit hoping it's going to get better? Why don't you quit wishing for some future day down the road? And God, do what God has told you to do. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you right now that if this little church right here in Washington, North Carolina, will just do what God tells us to do. I've never seen anybody saved when you knock on the door. I don't care. God tells them, knock on the door, knock on the door. But I don't think putting a track in anybody's hand is going to make a difference. I don't care what you think. If God tells me to put a track in her hand, I'm going to put a track in her hand. Well, I don't think they're going to be healed. They just got to live with it. I don't care what you think. If God said lay hands on them, lay hands on them. Glory to the Lamb of God and believe the Lord. I wish somebody would quit talking about what reason of reasons why we shouldn't. And would somebody give me a hand and help me roll away the stone?
Come on.
I'll get in and pray with you, brother. I'll get in and seek with you. I'll get in and worship. I'll be there faithful because I'm going to do what God said because I know it stinks. I know that I've had problems, but I'm rolling the stone back. I'm going to see God do a work in my life.
Go ahead. Yeah. Amen.
What America needs is the stone rolled back. And let the world just see the hopelessness of our situation. We've put a stone on it. We've tried to seal it up. We've tried to put it off to another day. We've wrapped it up in clothes. We put perfume on it. We've shut the eyes. We've given it a kiss goodbye. But it's still dead and rotten. Come on now. And that's how folks are. Let it be so. Let it be that comes under that tent a week from now. I mean the prostitution, the tattoos, the harlotry, the hopelessness, the despair, the alcoholism, the AIDS, the perversion. Let it walk up under that and let the putrefaction be exposed. But I'm here to tell you in all of that death, in all of that death, there's a voice that's fixing to sound out. Come forth! Hallelujah. And I tell you what, when God speaks, death has got to give way. It's got to go. And the purification can come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus didn't deny it was rotted. He didn't deny it stunk. He just said, roll the stone away. Don't you get honest with God and roll it away. Why'd he roll it away? Well, simply speaking, he was going to raise up Lazarus back to his natural body. And Lazarus wouldn't be able to roll the stone away. He'd have to have the stone rolled away to get out of the tomb. But he couldn't roll the stone away by himself.
No.
There's folks out there that are locked up in tombs.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks in here locked up in tombs.
That's true. That's the truth.
Is there anybody in this crowd today that'll say, you know what? I'm going to do. I'm going to help roll the stone away.
Yes,
I'm going to do.
Right, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I know when I roll that stone away, might get a little sticky. Might get a little stinky. But the Master said, do it. Those eyes look up to heaven and say, Father, I'm glad you heard me. I'm going to tell you, while you've been playing, He's been praying.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, brother.
While you've been murmuring, He's been praying. While you've been groaning, He's been praying.
Yeah.
While you've been weeping, He's been praying. While you've been wondering what's going to happen next, He's been praying.
Right.
While you've been trying to figure a way out, He's been praying.
Right.
Oh, glory. Yes, sir. I'm glad you heard me. He said, I'm not saying this because, Lord, I need it. It was for their benefit.
Right. Glory. Right.
Always concerned about us. And then I hear now the release of that dammed up flood. Waters that's been dammed up inside of him. Oh, that's been for days now. 2 days in Bethabara after he got the message. 2 days of damming it up inside of him, knowing what's going on back in Bethany. All the way that he's walking and restraining himself. And when he gets there and finds out he's already been 4 days in the grave. And now he really realizes the pain they've been through. And then when they tell him where he's laid, and he hears the wailers and he listens to the doubt of that crowd, I'm telling you now, all of that pent up power is now going to be released. He doesn't whisper it. He don't care if you're offended by it. He didn't speak it out in some rationalistic way. He loudly declared, Lazarus, I wish I had a megaphone on me today. I wish I could crank this thing up. Lazarus, come forth.
Hallelujah.
And that WPC of Washington, come forth. Glory. Lazarus, come forth.
God, amen. Oh, yeah.
And he stumbled out of the darkness. He stumbled out of the corruption. He stumbled out of the bondage. Loose him. Get the grave clothes off of him.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, when you get good and saved and regenerated, you won't be able fast enough to get rid of that old life and the vestiges of it. Come on, church.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Peel them off. Get rid of it. And he drops it down. I don't know. Oh, that happened in the next immediate 5 minutes. Some of them probably passed out. Come on now. Some of them probably passed out. Some of them are probably faint. I don't know that. I'm just surmising. I think if I'd have been there and I'd have had my right mind after I'd have got my breath, I'm telling you to heard a hoop come out of this man. And I tell you something right now. I would have come out of there and might have got a hold of those grave clothes. Might have grabbed them and ran through Jerusalem. Them all 2 miles the whole way. Have a look at this one, boys. How about that? How about that? You know that man Lazarus, he died 5 days ago. He's alive. And here's the grave clothes. Smell that, buddy. Smell that, glory. You may be able to take it sitting down. I don't think I can. I don't think I can. I think when revival hits, I don't know where I'm going to run, but I'm going to run. I don't know who I'm going to tell, but I'm going to tell. I'm already doing it because the fire of God is burning and death is about to meet life. And somebody has got to give praise to God and give glory to Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this right here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell you what's fixing to happen. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Right.
For the next week, instead of having a constant stream of wailers, they're going to have a constant stream of people coming to see what's happened.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the wailers. I'm tired of the folks coming in and telling me it's past. It ain't going to happen. Oh well, maybe someday it will. Come on. I like that crowd to start coming and say, where's he at?
Right, brother.
Tell it one more time. Lazarus, you're going to get tired of telling this story, son. You're going, what's happened to you? Well, yeah. I can't tell you all. It's all things that's just hard for me to utter. Right. But I can tell you this. I went down to Abraham's bosom. Right. Hallelujah. While I was there having a good time, I heard a voice that I was with all too familiar with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I knew that voice. I'd recognize it anywhere. And it came across. It reached right down through the regions of death. It reached right down into Abraham's bosom where I was at. And I heard my name, Lazarus! Lazarus! You're needed up here! You're needed up here! Jesus is real. He's Messiah. He'll raise the dead. He's got power. Believe Him. Is here, church. I beg of you, if you don't know it, cry out until you do. But if you have ever heard hope, you ought to have hope today. For His name's sake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
God is not going to revive His church simply for the church's sake.
Right.
He's going to raise it up because it's His name.
Yes.
It's His reputation.
Amen. Yes.
His name's on the line.
Amen.
His glory's on the line.
Yes.
Oh, the that's been pent up. Oh, that's been held back. He's going to let it go. God of a shit. You can call me crazy this morning. You can think I've lost my mind. But I'm going to deliver everything God give me this morning. You stand right where you're at. I got one more comment on whatever God wants to do. Something else happened. You won't believe it, but you better get ready for it. But in face of the greatest miracle that man has ever seen, and God stood on this planet, a man named Jesus, and he spoke into a region where the voice of man could never penetrate. And a man heard him. And he came back. And a man, in the face of numerous witnesses, came out of a grave and been there 4 days. And he took off his grave clothes and he's shouting. He's praising. Talking with the master, Mary and Martha are now weeping tears of joy. Right. And folks are just awed out of their minds. But in that crowd, there's a bunch of gainsayers that ran off to Jerusalem to find that same old bunch of religious critics.
Right.
The Pharisees to tell him, hey, you know what's going on out there? They care more about the favor of the Pharisees than they care about the favor of God. I don't know why you'd want to go get in the midst of a bunch of doubting liberal deadheads when you can live in the presence of the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ.
Right, go ahead.
Now, I might run, but I ain't going to run too far. I'm going to run back and I'm going to hug him and hold to him and say, you're the greatest thing.
Right.
You're the glorious thing. But you let me, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to see the power of God.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a crowd. They're going to explain it away.
Yeah,
they're going to say it's emotion.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to say it ain't real.
Right.
They're going to go to that religious crowd and they say, you know, they're just a bunch of folks. They just got carried away. It's just something in their mind they've concocted. And it's just like, you know, a placebo effect.
Yeah.
You call it whatever you want to, but I know where I stand. I stand in the presence of resurrection power. I've seen it. I know I was dead and now I'm alive. I know I was lost and now I'm found. I know I was blind and now I see. You may want to explain it away. Why? Because it just cuts against your humanism. But I say, let God be glorified. Let God be glorified. Let God be glorified. Again. Midst of his people. Hallelujah. I want to know, is there anybody in the house that will help me roll that stone away? I want to know, is there anybody in the house that will say, I'm not standing here, I'm going to help you roll the stone away? Glory! Glory! So that if you're a Joe Burns, and maybe much don't know you, or many don't know you, but God says, go to a hospital and pray.
Right.
You know, you're not the pastor, and, you know, and who you think you are. No matter. You do what God tells you to do.
Yes.
Yeah. You may be a Michael Cottle driving a truck. But if God tells you to stop and pray, stop and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Victory is ours. Victory and healing is ours. Glory to the Lamb of God. I don't care. Would you roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Somewhere in your experience of asking, you felt there was something you needed to do, and because you were too embarrassed, you didn't launch out in faith and obey God. And today you're struggling. I know what I'm talking about. This is not my norm, and you know it. No, some would never have exposed themselves like that Sister Leticia Ponce in front of this church with eyes on her. Simple Hispanic sister from Mexico. They might have thought she's foolish, but she's got victory. She's got joy. Glory! I I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Come on high. And through obedience and submission, let the glory of God fill the house again. The glory of God fill the cup. Strength be in the body. No fear, but faith and trust in God. This child will come. It'll come. Put it in the Lord's hands. It'll come. You think I'm crazy this morning, but I'm not. I'm preparing for rain. I'm getting ready for revival. I'm getting ready for the doubters to come. I don't care about them anymore. I'm getting ready for the skeptics to come and the critics. I don't care about them anymore. A man that cussed me out yesterday, I prayed for him. I looked at my daughter and said, honey, that's sad. And we prayed for him. God, he needs saved. Save him. He's lost. I'm talking about this tongue talker in Pentecostal. And yet all that filth comes out of your mouth. I tell you, this Pentecostal experience ain't never caused me to spew filth out of my mouth. Ain't never let me to cuss anybody out. You hear me this morning, church. I'm saying to every one of you here today, you may hold the key. You hold back. You don't roll the stone away. I'm little. I'm insignificant. We do not know the names of the men who rolled the stone away. We don't know their names, brother. I don't know a thing about them. But somebody had enough faith and devotion to do something that seemed foolish and simple. Absolutely outlandish. But they got there and they put the to shoulder that thing. And they began to push. And they got that stone away. And they looked at Jesus. Oh, glory. You may have been sitting in this church. And you may have been in a valley for the last 6 months. You may have been in a valley for the last 3 years. But God's speaking to you one more time, telling you to roll the stone away. It may be as simple as lifting your hands, getting out of your seat, and just walking and thanking God. But that one act of obedience could roll away the stone and allow the power of God to be seen again. John, I ain't doing that. What you talking about? What you mean roll the stone away? What you do is mine. Somebody quit the reasoning. Somebody quit their arguing. Somebody said, I ain't worried about it. He's a master. I'm going to go roll that stone away. Oh, glory. Quit debating. Quit arguing. Quit reasoning. And roll the stone away today. All right, Holy Ghost. Are you listening? You're going to have to shut down the voice of the enemy. You're going to have to shut out all what so-and-so going to think about me. Come on. Well, that just don't make sense why he would say do that. I don't really care about what you think makes sense.
That's exactly right.
Honestly, I'm not being ignorant. I'm not being rude.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
No, right.
His thoughts are higher than yours.
Yes, amen.
His ways are higher than yours.
Yes.
Praise Him, Sister Bethany. God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him, Mother. Praise Him, Brother. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, church, a new fire has been ignited in this preacher. I don't care if they run me off. I really don't care anymore. I want revival at all costs. I want the glory of God. I've been on the streets and I saw them. They got pierced all over. I mean, 14, 15 year olds. Their arms are all covered in tattoos. And I ain't going to stick my nose up. I told them, get under that tent. Get under that tent. And you're going to hear a message. And it's going to change your life. And they said, I'll come. And I looked them right square in the eye. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't come, you are a liar.
That's right.
You have lied to me, and I don't like liars. I don't like to be lied to. Now, I want you to know I'm depending on you. And when you get there, you look me up, because I'll be there.
Yeah.
I ain't going to come, Brother Woods. Well, that's your opinion.
That's right.
Fire's fixing to fall under that tent. And if some of you had already rolled your stone away, you'd have felt it. Glory to the Lamb of God. See, I rolled my stone away a while back. Glory to the Lamb of God. I rolled it away and I let God touch something in my life that needed to be touched. I don't need to know about what's in your tomb. I don't need to know about what's been buried. I don't need to know about the depths of your sorrow. All I need to know is, are you willing to roll your stone away? Glory to God. Because if you are, the voice of Jesus Christ can reach across the death and give you life. It'll give you life. He may just be telling you to get out and kneel in an altar. He may just be telling you to go home and lay something down. He may be telling you, dealing with you, to go and apologize to a friend. He may be telling you to go to somebody and just make an appeal and say, please, 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 let's move on. I don't know where, I don't know it. And I never intended to make this the main part of the message, but it's what God wanted to deal with us this morning. It's as we roll those stones away. It's as we stand in that graveyard and do what doesn't make sense. What seems like it's weird, it's outlandish, but it's going to bring revival. You hear me? You hear me, America? You hear me, WPC Washington? If we don't want revival, God's going to send revival. It is in my mind no question of whether or not revival's coming. It's only who's going to get to see it. You can stomp out of that graveyard in disgust and say that man Jesus is crazy and has lost his mind. Or you can stay there, roll the stone away, and watch the greatest miracle you've ever seen in all your life. You're going to get mocked and you're going to get ridiculed. And you're going to get made fun of. That's all right. That voice will be silenced in time. But the voice of the saints will shout throughout eternal ages. Oh. Come on, would somebody just lift him up here this morning? My. I'm done, church. I'm done. You got to obey God today. You got to obey God today. Glory to the Lamb of God. Somebody got to obey God. Glory! Life is yours, son. Life is yours, son.